Hi everyone, this is Steph with A Little Bit of Steph. Thank you so much for following my journey to see what God is doing within me as well as within my life. I don't know about you, but I sure look forward to what's to come. Disclaimer, warning, this section may be troubling or triggering to you, so go slow and stop as needed. Disclaimer, I am not a therapist or counselor. I am only sharing my story of my life from my perspective, as well as what has helped me to heal and is still helping me. Free 24-hour support is available through the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline by calling 1-800-273-8255 or by texting HOME to 741-741. Hi everybody, this is Steph with A Little Bit of Steph, episode 16, My New Roots. I have had a special request from one of the viewers to make a video specifically about when I became blind and some of me, like, I guess, learning how to live blind. So I'm going to just go through and I'll talk a little bit about how I handled that emotionally, but mostly just explain what it was like. I'm going to start this off with a quote from Helen Keller, and all of the quotes in this episode will be her quotes. Once I knew only darkness and stillness, my life was without past or future, but a little word from the fingers of another fell into a hand that clutched at emptiness, and my heart leaped to the rapture of living. Okay, so in a July day of 2011, I woke up in a hospital completely and totally blind. I had a cup taped to over my left eye because this eye was completely out of the socket and they weren't actually sure that they would be able to save that one. So that was very, very traumatic. Pretty much I just felt like I would never be able to do anything. I felt like I would never be able to accomplish anything. I was in the middle of a separation, and heading towards a divorce. So I thought no one would ever want me with me being blind. I thought that I would be ugly now. I had never known, you know, other than like maybe a couple people met them in my life, but I didn't really know anyone. And I guess that just all of these different stigmas, you know, I thought them about myself. And stay tuned because I plan to make an episode about the stigmas surrounding blindness. Okay, and so here's another quote. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. All right, so 2 weeks to the day that I woke up blind in the hospital. Well, I guess not since I woke up, because 2 weeks to the day that I was there, that I was taken there by Lifelight, I was sent home. When I very first got home, you would not even think that you would be able to do this. Like, you think, oh my God, if I lost my sight, I wouldn't know how to, like, walk through my house. Well, I think if you were in the hospital for 2 weeks and you wanted to shave your legs bad enough, you would walk in your house just like I did and walk from one end, and it was a large home, walk from one end all the way to the other. And the first thing I did was locked myself in the bathroom and took myself a nice long shower, because you just don't get it quite like that at the hospital. So that was the first thing I did. And then after that, I stayed in bed for like 2 months. I didn't really get out of bed a lot. I had to have people come like spoon feed me, encourage me to get out of the bed, different things like that. So it was really, really hard for me at first. I still, for like 2 solid months, was just in that whole mindset of all of these things. I'm never going to have a life. I'm never going to be able to have a job. I'm never going to have a relationship, you know, all these things. I just thought my whole life was over and I didn't know what was going to happen to me. Another quote, while they were saying among themselves, it cannot be done, it was done. And I put that quote there because I was saying it could not be done. And it happened. With hard work, with determination, and surrounding myself with the right people, it was done. And I got out of that bed and I have a life now. Orientation of mobility. That is the white cane, the oh so lovely white cane. I am a very good friend of that cane now, but when I first became blind, it was not my friend at all. I was so embarrassed by it. I thought, this makes me look like a dork, you know, like all these things. Clearly, as we go down, you'll be able to tell that my mindset changed and I started seeing from my heart and not from my eyes. But yeah, that's kind of what I felt like. I was gonna look dorky. People were gonna make fun of me. I was afraid of that. You know, all these different things. And let me tell you, if you're more positive about it and you can make light of it and have fun with it and, you know, just bring yourself whatever joy you can, more people are going to want to be around you and people aren't going to make fun. I do get people that make fun. Yeah, it's the world. People are hateful. But I have way more awesome, nice friends than I do. Well, I don't have any mean friends, but I have a lot of nice friends that I've met since becoming blind just because of having the kind of personality that just have fun with it. I encourage you to do that. If you're blind and or have anything, you know, that you feel is holding you back, stop and rethink that. Maybe look at it from a different angle. Or even if it's absolutely no way to change your circumstance, try to be light and positive about it. It will make a difference. When I started out the orientation of mobility, not only was that embarrassing to me, but it was hard. You know, all of a sudden you close your eyes and then you're given a stick that like comes up to like about, you know, your chest level or something. And you're told, okay, now this is your eyes. Whoa. You know, just learning how to get to my mailbox. Now at that time, I lived way out in the country and I had a home that was surrounded by 80 acres of pine trees. So I had quite a long walk to my driveway. But it was a straight walk and it was still just really difficult for me. Everything was. We would go outside and practice on the little driveway part, practice on the little walkway. Eventually I had to move to town because living out in the country was difficult for me being blind, not having transportation either. So that changed and I started having lessons in different areas. So I learned to walk to the gym. I was going to, when I lived in Milton, I was going to a gym every day to go take yoga classes, to go work out in the actual gym. So I learned how to get to the gym. I learned how to get to my local grocery store because I would walk to my grocery store with a suitcase and I would, go to the customer service desk. And I would ask them for help if I couldn't, which I knew the customer service desk at my local store. But so I would go in, I would ask for help. That's typically what a blind person would do if they're there by themselves. And the person that works in the store, they would have someone that works in the store to walk around and help me get my groceries with me. So at that point, I could put my suitcase under the buggy and hold on to the buggy while the worker walked around the store and we went through my list and got my stuff and then would help me check out. And then I would make my hour or so walk back home. It wasn't that long of a drive, but it sure was a walk when you're blind and you're walking slower to be cautious and careful about what's going on around you, as well as lugging a big suitcase to feed a family of, let's see, at that time there was 3, 4, 5 of us. So yeah, that was not easy, but it was possible. I did it. I also learned how to get to my husband at that time's son's elementary school, as well as his daughter's daycare, so that I could go volunteer and do things in the classroom with all the kids and go watch parades. I speak in the schools now, and that happened because I was standing there just witnessing one of his parades, just so he would know someone was there for him that day. And I happened to end up speaking to a teacher that I was standing next to, and she got me hooked up with that. So now I talk in the schools to kids about what it's like to live with a disability, how to overcome adversity. I show them all my little blind tools and devices. There is an episode about that already, Three Steps Eyes, so you can go check that out and see some of my devices. And so, you know, that's just what I did. I learned how to walk to the schools and everything. So crosswalks. Okay, so the orientation and mobility lessons, I would cry. Not all the time. Sometimes it would be so much fun, but then other times I would cry because it's really hard. And it just felt like I would never be able to accomplish certain things. Crosswalks was one of them. I was terrified of the crosswalks because in our town, the crosswalks don't make a noise. So I have no idea when it's safe to cross the road. And it was just so dangerous. And every time, I still don't like doing it, but I'm not afraid to do it. And I know how to, so I will, but I'm not a fan because those crosswalks don't have little beeper things to help us hear and know. So it's scary. So if you're in charge of anything like that and you have the authority to make that change, I encourage you, I urge you to make that change and make it a little bit easier and safer for us. Let's see. So my first crosswalk, though, I'll just give you a little example of how it went. It was pretty neat, though, because I get down there and I'm standing at the crosswalk. Mind you, this is my third day trying to have crosswalk lessons, because the first 2 days I chickened out and I was like, I can't do it. Please don't make me do this today, please. So then we'd wait until the next week and I'd go back, and the second time I still couldn't do it. Well, the third time I did it. There were people at the red lights encouraging me, you can do it, you can do it. And so, and that's what happens, I guess, when you are from a little country town, because back then I did live in Milton, Florida. And so, you know, you have those country people encouraging you to, you can do it. But so I did it. I made it across and I made it back. And it was one of the scariest things ever, but it was so much fun, and I'm proud of myself that I did it. And I never did that walk again, that particular crosswalk again, because it was so dangerous. But it made me feel good that I did it. Another thing that I have done in my orientation and mobility that I was terrified to do, and I'm still terrified, and I don't like to do it, but it's not about blindness. I am scared of escalators. And my orientation and mobility instructor, she knew that I was terrified of those. And so she calls me one day and says, hey, how about instead of, you know, any hard lesson, why don't we just take a lesson and just go mosey around the mall, get a coffee and just kind of walk around the mall and hang out and talk. We're girlfriends. So I assumed we're just going to have a friend day. So I get there, she picks me up. We get to my lesson at the mall and we're walking. I think we're on our way to Starbucks. And all of a sudden I hear the escalator. I'm wearing some big clunky wedge, like sandal things that don't have a back on them. They're like flip-flop toes and a big wedge and little diamond stone things everywhere. Very dangerous for that kind of lesson, but I'm assuming we're not on a real one to that day, so I didn't think to wear tennis shoes. And I hear that escalator and I stop. And I was like, I am not doing this. She made me do it. And you know what? I did it. And it was fine. I did it. I was okay. I followed directions exactly how she told me to do it. I did it and I was safe. So, recently my husband and I were shopping at one of the stores in the mall. I can't even remember, but there's an elevator. We had to go downstairs and we're standing at the escalator. I'm sorry. And he's like, are you ready to do this? And at this point I'm wearing heels, like stiletto heels. And I'm looking at him like, no, there's got to be an elevator or something. Like how would someone in a wheelchair get down there to shop? You know, so there has to be an elevator. And he's just like, I don't know, I don't know. And he looks around and I'm looking at him like, I'm not going down that escalator. Yes, I know how, but it's not happening. I've already done that lesson. Let's go find an elevator. That's the safer route. So I chickened out again and did it. But I didn't do it. But at least I know I can if I absolutely have to. Okay. So in reference to the cane. The cane is also there, not only for my eyes, but my cane and my legs are my only mode of transportation unless I can afford a driver, which is not always the case. So I don't get to drive anymore. And I think that is probably one of the most difficult things to experience. Before I couldn't have children, the thought of not being able to see my children was difficult for me. That's not an issue now. But driving, it still stinks. I think if there's anything that I miss, it is driving. I could probably count, I want to say on maybe one hand, how many times I've cried about my blindness itself since that first 2 months. And every single time it's been because of not being able to drive a car. So many people want to hang out with you, but not very many people want to go out of their way to make a point so you can hang out with them. It stinks. There's not always that. I just miss it. I don't know. I guess I just miss being able to drive. But I will say, even though I miss being able to drive, if I had the choice to have my sight back, I would not choose to take my sight back, because the life that I've been given, the life that God has given me and allows me to use it to help other people, I gained so much more than I ever had when I had sight. So my sight's right here where I need it to be. In saying that, another poem, I seldom think about my limitations and they never make me sad. Perhaps there is just a touch of yearning at times, but it is vague, like a breeze among flowers. Okay, so my cooking lesson, that went way better. Way better than my original learning of the orientation of mobility, better than some other stuff. It's just, I really enjoyed my cooking lesson. There's not really a lot to say about my cooking lesson. Eventually I'm going to have some clips and stuff out to, you know, show like actual cooking. I will do an episode and I will cook something. I'm trying to move. I'm in the process of moving. So some of that stuff is holding me back right now because it's a little chaotic in my home. So bear with me. And in a month or so, hopefully I'll be able to make those videos for you. But I'll just share my original story of how I learned to cook. So my independent living instructor came out to my home, and for this particular day was just for my cooking lesson. So he taught me, he put bump dots on my stove, and I'll show you those bump dots again whenever we do those videos. I believe there might be some of those bump dots in the other episode too about blindness. And so anyways, he put the bump dots on my stove, which helps me know to turn my knobs and put my knobs where those go and everything. I had a flat top stove at the time. So what he did was taught me how to go in and feel and know where the burner is without getting myself burnt. And, then after that it was on. So we boiled an egg, and he told me when we got done boiling the egg, if you can boil an egg, you can do anything. Apparently, not many people can boil an egg very well, but I've always been able to boil an egg without a problem. So I thought, well, if I can boil an egg, then I can do anything. Well, the next week when he came out to my house, keep in mind, I was living alone out in the country for like way out in the country, surrounded by 80 acres of pine trees, and didn't have anybody coming over to feed me or anything at this point. So I was hungry. When he came back for my next week lesson, I had already cooked dinner every single night that whole week. And he was like, we didn't go over that yet. You haven't learned that yet. And I was like, no, but you said, if I can boil an egg, I can do anything. I was hungry, so I got in there and I taught myself how to cook. Here's another quote. Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. My Braille lesson. I learned A through J in one lesson, just the letters themselves. It was difficult, but it was fun. It was interesting to me. And unfortunately, after that, the center that I learned from, that person, that instructor left and moved away. And after that, anytime I inquired about Braille lessons, the instructor that was there that certified to teach that only was teaching the elderly. So I was not able to sign up for her classes. It's been almost 9 years and I still am not sure a whole lot about Braille, but my husband did, and I'll say I'm a tech nerd, so I haven't really cared much to learn Braille. And my husband recently told me when we were discussing different stuff we want to learn and do together, and I said I would like to learn another language. We both agreed that we would like to learn Italian, but he wants to learn Braille because he feels that would be really important with a lot of stuff that's going on in the world right now. So he's going to help learn it with me. My money lesson. My same instructor that taught me how to cook, he's the same one that taught me my budgeting and my money. And so basically I have an app on my phone that reads out and it'll say $1, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100. As far as the change goes, I count change because, and this is, I believe on the video, through Steph's eyes. And it's basically the penny and the dime are close to the same size. The dime has ridges. The penny has smooth edges. The nickel and the quarter are kind of sort of close in size, I guess. The nickel is smooth around the edges and the quarter is not smooth around the edges. So if you take your fingernail around the quarter or around the dime, you can feel ridges there. Nickel and penny, not so. So that's how I can tell that. The budgeting was not much different than any other kind of budgeting. If anybody needs a budgeting episode, put a comment, and if I feel it placed on my heart, I'll be happy to put something together for you. A lot of learning to become blind is pretty much the same as a sighted person. You just have to do some things differently. Adaptive technology. Now, this was another one of those orientation and mobility type lessons where it was not my friend, but I knew I needed it. In the case of the cane, I was more ready to jump on someone's arm than I was to want to, actually walk with the cane because I was so afraid of the unknown, of what was in front of me. But as far as the adaptive technology goes, who has it easy living without their phone, right? So you have a newly blind individual who is desperate to get back on that phone and on her Facebook and to be able to talk to people and stuff because she's alone and scared and sad at home. And so, yeah, the adaptive technology classes were miserable because it's so hard, but it was so worth it. So I learned how to use my iPhone. I think all types of different phones. I'm a web accessibility analyst, and so, you know, I'm familiar with a lot of different devices, but you know, they all have their own way. My personal opinion, I'll advocate for iPhone until anything comes out better. But in my opinion, I've tried multiple phones. The iPhone has a built, it's more expensive, yes, to buy an iPhone, but it has a built-in voiceover software system for people who are visually impaired. It is a lifesaver, and I can do almost anything with voiceover on the iPhone. I use JAWS. I'm capable of using JAWS, NVDA, as well as voiceover on the Mac. I'm not a big fan of voiceover on the Mac. Not my favorite Apple product there, but I absolutely do love JAWS, and NVDA is the free version of JAWS, but it is slightly different. JAWS is definitely more easy to use, but it's quite expensive. And those softwares, I talk about them like you know what they are, my bad. Those softwares are so that I can use my computer to help me navigate through, just like you're able to. So right now, actually, I will let you listen to my computer.
Effort. JAWS. Adaptive plan. Counting. Money. Read. Money. Lesson. Plan.
Okay, so these are just my notes, and I'll just let you hear my episode
money
notes.
Money lesson, colon.
That's about my money lesson.
Money reader.
The money reader.
Counting coins.
The counting coins.
Plan. Adaptive technology lesson, colon.
Adaptive technology, and so forth. So, it just helps me. Well, and then, right here.
JAWS.
iPhone.
Giving up.
And then that leads me to my next point. Giving up. All so often during my training for orientation and mobility, which, by the way, is so hard, it took me a few years on and off of taking lessons to finally get it down. I don't think I actually really fully had it until I got a job as a web accessibility analyst and had to fake it till I made it. And I was determined I'm going to do whatever it takes to learn this system even better. I was staying up for hours all night long, you know, like it consumed me to learn this program so that I wouldn't lose that job, because it means so much to me to be self-independent. And so I did it, and I learned NVDA. I did not. The only systems that I learned through my blind training was JAWS and iPhone. I've taught myself the iPad, which isn't very much different than the iPhone. I've taught myself NVDA, and I taught myself VoiceOver on the Mac. And then that leads me into, the giving up part. Yes, it was really, really hard. Many times I cried. I can't tell you how many keyboards I've broken with my rages, because of the frustration and the difficulty of it. Fortunately for me, my adaptive technology instructor, which I'm not a student with that program anymore, but that instructor ends up being one of my really good friends. And so, it's funny because at one point I would call him panicking, "Oh my gosh, I can't do this. How do you do this?" And then there's been time since, because I've self-taught so well and studied so well, and in his job, he pretty much stays in one particular area doing the same thing over and over, where in my career as a web accessibility analyst, I'm constantly growing as far as accessibility goes and you know, the technology aspect. And so there's been times that he's had to ask my help. So that's pretty interesting and kind of funny. Here's another poem. Self-pity is our worst enemy, and if we yield to it, we can never do anything wise in this world. My senses. So a lot of people say, "Oh, wow, well, I bet you can smell and hear so much better now." Yeah, I can hear a little bit better in some ways. My situation is slightly different because I became blind from a head trauma. So, and that, you know, affected everything in there. I have brain damage on the lower right part, kind of behind my ear. I have severe damage. My optic nerves are totally severed. it took away my sense of smell, and the hearing in my right ear isn't the same because of the scar tissue. Now, I want to explain exactly how we get better senses. So people just assume like, oh, it's just magically better. It's not magically better. It comes with a lot of practice, a lot of preparation and patience, which was hard for me. As far as my sense of touch goes, what I had to do to make that better and to grow that is to sit around with bowls of different sizes, mostly large plastic mixing bowls, slam full of things like rice, beans, coffee grounds, coffee beans, whatever, different textures of things, and dig my hands through those to find different nuts, bolts, change, and feel those things and figure out what they were. And that's how I was able to get my sense of touch to be more heightened. Now, let's see. Listening to sounds, I was able to heighten my sense of hearing by just practicing sitting and listening quiet. I am by no means those sound echo type blind people. No way. Like, if you're watching this or listening to this, and you have a visual impairment and you're good at that echo stuff, I am not. I think mostly I don't have the patience for it, honestly. So maybe one day I'll try to learn that. My husband is an audio engineer for live bands, so I do have pretty good hearing because oftentimes I will, be sitting at his shows, texting him, telling him, hey, change this, change that. And so I help him out in that aspect. Sometimes whenever I go to shows for my other band friends and my husband's not even there, on their breaks, they'll be running down like, how does it sound? What do I need to change? So it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Do I have any frustrations from this other than driving? I guess maybe sometimes it'd be nice to smell food, but then again, at the same time, I mean, and it's a funny joke that I always say to people, but I live with a man and a dog. Okay. So who really cares to smell at that point? But no, in all reality, it doesn't bother me that much. I think what I look at the most is like those little blessings that I get. One time, some people might think this is gross, but one time I was brushing my teeth in the shower and was using menthol toothpaste. Well, all of a sudden I smelled menthol and it was so strong and everything, and it was awesome. Another time I was cutting an onion. I've cut lots of onions, chopped lots and lots of onions. But this one in particular time, poured tears and I could smell it. Most of the time, it either makes me cry a little bit and I can't smell it, or it doesn't do anything to me at all. But that particular time, I could completely smell the onion as I was chopping it. There's been a couple times where I've torn a dryer sheet in half, a game dryer sheet, and been able to smell that and like, oh. So that's pretty cool. But for the most part, it's not really a frustration. If you look at it like the little blessings that I get out of it, the little surprises, it's kind of fun, I guess. And so I have a poem for that. What we have once enjoyed, we can never lose. All that we love deeply becomes a part of us. And I think that's true, because sometimes I'll get little hints of smells, and it's when floods of memories or something comes through. And it's really neat that I still get to experience that because of my brain. Okay, so that same instructor that taught me how to cook and taught me to budget, my independent living instructor, he also taught me how to clean. There are techniques to cleaning for the visually impaired. And I mean, I'll be honest, I don't necessarily know if I really use all the techniques, because I kind of just did what worked for me. And I encourage anybody to just do what works for you, because why not? It's your home. You're living there. Sweeping is a horrible thing to do when you're totally blind. So I do it my way, and I don't actually use the broom a lot. What I prefer to do is I use my cane. I might use the broomstick handle, but I use those to map out my areas on the floor and help me. I do it on my hands and knees with like cleaning towels, cleaning rags, and I hand sweep, and then I vacuum up what I can't get, and then I hand mop with like that on my hands and knees using my white cane and like broomstick handle and stuff to help me block off certain areas of the house. We're in a 4-bedroom house right now. It's pretty big, but not huge. Luckily for me, my husband is a saint, and I very rarely have to do things like that. Since I've been giving more to my family lately, I've been doing more of that, mostly just in the kitchen because I'm in there a lot, but not my favorite thing to do, sweeping, making the bed, stuff like that. I just do it to what works for me, you know. Shopping, I kind of explained that already. When you go in, you ask for, if you know the customer service desk, you go to that. If you don't know where that is, you just go in and basically until you can find someone, you know, that works there. Usually the first person you ask, if they don't work there, they're going to point you to someone that does. They're going to, you know, help you find that person. So, I don't typically experience negative things like that. People are pretty helpful. I just feel like basically, with all of this being said, I have a quote that kind of sums it up. We can do anything we want to if we stick to it long enough. A lot of people want to know how I pick out my clothing. And so I'll tell you that I am pretty organized as far as my clothing, as crazy as it sounds. I have my closet color-coded. In my head right now, I have green, I have my gator stuff, I have my blue stuff, pink stuff, red stuff, and so on, you know, so it just kind of goes like that. And I used to organize it like really badly, where it would be reds and like pinks and reds and this, but it would be tanks color-coded, t-shirts, color, and so forth. Now I just kind of color-coded all in one section because I have downsized a lot and I'm kind of simple living, so I have a really small area of clothes. Let's see. I've talked to you about the bump dot. Let's see. If you have any other questions, anything specific that you would like to know about, please do write that in the comments, and I would be happy to put that in the next episode, because I do have an episode about blindness coming, and like I said, that episode, I'm excited. We're going to do some cooking, just some different stuff, you know, so I will just put the comments in there, and I'll be happy to add whatever you want me to that video, as long as it is respectful and appropriate. All right, and I'm going to end this with one more quote for you. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet, only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. And that fits my personal life. All of these quotes kind of fit along with me in the storyline, and I hope that you enjoyed it. It's pretty short, I know, and I hope that it holds you over until I can get settled in my new house and do some really good videos for you like that. So God bless you all. Thank you so much, and look forward to the next episode. Thanks for watching, but before I go, I want to leave you with this. You are special. You are kind. You are smart. You are wonderful. You are worth it. You are important. To reach out to me, please do so by commenting or emailing FromTraumaToTriumphPCola@gmail.com. God bless you all.